Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Five years after New Kids on the Block disbanded, Jordan Knight made a comeback with a lively, carnival-themed song about wild sex. The track boasted a memorable video, a contemporary sound, and an irresistible chorus. Despite knocking it out of the park with Give It To You, Knight fell short in comparison to another former boy band member who ventured into solo territory. This week, we explore why the most talented New Kid couldn't keep us wet with another hit.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
Matt, I tell you, I've been looking forward to this episode because you may or may not know, I grew up a super huge New Kids on the Block fan. Now, I know I got a few years on you, so I don't know how deep you go into New Kids, but man, I could talk some New Kids with you.
Well, I've been digitizing VHS tapes, and I recently just got, someone was like, I'm getting rid of my entire VHS collection. I'm going to drop it off, digitize whatever you want. And I digitized this tape, and I'm planning to, by the time this episode comes out, it's already happened, but Punchline's playing some shows, and I was going to gift this to Jim to give to his wife because it is the New Kids on the Block Hanging Tough music video collection.
Wow, very nice.
It has the videos for Please Don't Go, Girl, You Got It, The Right Stuff, I'll Be Loving You Forever, and Hanging Tough.
That's awesome.
With little interviews with the boys in between each music video.
The interviews, that's the good part. Man, the New Kids, I went on a rabbit hole of New Kids on the Block music videos last night. They have so many songs I love. I actually love their first album a lot. They have songs like Popsicle and Stop It Girl, and they have this song called Are You Down where they like rap, and then the chorus is Baby Won't You Please Be Mine, Are You Down. Well, like, it's so good.
I think it's easy, time becomes weird, right? Like, because, like, as you get further and further away from a point, that point in time seems much more smaller. So, like, I think that there's a lot of people who think that, similarly to, say, NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, where you look back and their career in the grand scheme was, like, 97 to 99. Like, they had this, like, insane two-year hot streak of all these hits. I think people assume New Kids was the same, but New Kids was, like, a good decade of like consistent albums and consistent hits throughout their career.
Yeah. I fell off towards the end. I started to outgrow them. And by the time Step by Step came out, I was kind of out. But that was a hit as well. But I got to tell you, we're talking about Jordan Knight in specific today. There was a point in my life where there were, you know how they had those big pins, like the big circle pins? We actually got those made for Punchline at some point, but I had a big Jordan Knight one. Jordan Knight was my favorite New Kid. And so, of course, I'm going to like his solo song.
I mean, look, the other reverse of that, just for the record, you're saying like Step by Step was when you were, you know, kind of ready to tap out a little bit. Like, obviously, that album's coming out and Nirvana's about to happen. Yeah. Like, Like, why would you? Why would you at that age be like, well, I could keep listening to New Kids, or there's this really crazy, unique style of music that's happening.
Sure.
What's interesting to me is that the New Kids on the Block broke up in 1994, and then they broke up so that the guys could go on solo, do solo projects. And what's interesting to me, and we're only focusing on Jordan Knight because this other person also is a one-hit wonder as a solo artist, but that Jordan and Joey McIntyre both took 5 years to put out their solo album, and they were released almost like a week apart from each other.
Wow.
And in the grand scheme, I mean, Jordan won this fight, like in a big, bad way.
Well, Joey's song was really bad. And
it was not good.
And Jordan's was so good. And it makes sense that it came out when it did. They released this music at the height of Britney and
revival.
Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and everything. So they were trying to capitalize. They were the forefathers in a way to what those.
Hold on a second. I need to clarify. I spoke out of turn a little bit here. Joey McKnight's single.
Joey McIntyre.
Sorry, man. I'm going to keep making that mistake. Don't worry. Joey McIntyre's single, Stay the Same, also peaked at number 10. Both of these songs hit the exact same peak position on the Billboard charts. But I think long term, Give It to You has continued to have like a, I've literally heard this song like walking around Hershey Park before. Like, it's just like a song that has not like left playlists. Whereas Stay the Same very quickly vanished after its time in the popular culture. But yeah, this song, I think part of it, honestly, is it has such a cool intro with that like accordion circus music part kicking it off. And then the actual beat to the song is very, very similar to like that Timbaland influence type of music that was happening in 99. It just felt very modern and contemporary at that time, where, you know, Joey McIntyre's song was more of just a ballad. This is a dance pop song. I mean, it was such a dancey song that it was nominated for Best Dance Video at the 1999 Video Music Awards. Fortunately lost to Ricky Martin's Living the Vida Loca. But like, that is, I mean, it is a dancey ass song, and it had a great video. I think the video for this song is awesome.
And not to mention, Jordan is talented. He was the guy from New Kids who sang in falsetto most of the time. He had that, you know, he'd take the highest parts. A little background on Jordan Knight for anyone who doesn't know, who maybe wasn't a New Kid aficionado like myself. He's from Worcester, Massachusetts. His parents are Canadian. He's the youngest of six children. He joined New Kids on the Block when he was almost 14 with his brother. His brother was also, and his older brother, Jonathan Knight, was in the band, as well as Joey McIntyre, who we talked about, Donnie Wahlberg, of course, and Danny Wood. The New Kids, now we're calling, for the purpose of this show, Jordan Knight a one-hit wonder, but don't be fooled. Jordan Knight was part of selling 80 million albums with New Kids on the Block. And of course, he paved the way for the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Give It to You was actually his first solo single in 1999. And like Matt said, it went to number 10 on the Hot 100. I assume a lot of times with pop stars that they don't write their songs. That is quite the contrary here. He was a writer on this song along with some heavy hitters. James Jimmy Jam Harris and Terry Lewis, as well as Robin Thicke on this song. Now, Matt, do you know anything about Jimmy Jam and Terry?
I don't know. I mean, I thought you were going to ask me about Robin Thicke, who I did know. But no, I don't know about Jimmy Jam
and
Terry. Or the other name you said. Yeah, tell me.
So James Jimmy Jam Harris and Terry Lewis, they were a songwriting team together. They had 16 Hot 100 number one hits.
Oh, shit.
And 26 Billboard R&B number one hits. Do you want to hear their list of number one hits on the Hot 100? It's impressive.
Of course I do. Of course I do. Let's do this.
With Janet Jackson alone, they produced the following songs: When I Think of You, Miss You Much, Escapade, Love Will Never Do Without You, That's the Way Love Goes. Together Again, Doesn't Really Matter, and All for You. That's
okay. Those are a lot of heavy hitters.
Those are all number.
What about the non-Janet songs?
Human League's Human.
Okay. I know you love that song.
Yeah. George Michael's Monkey.
Okay.
Karen White's Romantic. Boyz II Men, On Bended Knee, and surprise.
I'll Make Love to You?
No. Four Seasons of Loneliness, which is a very like strange one that went to number one for like 1 week. Mariah Carey's Thank God I Found You, and Usher's You Remind Me. So,
I mean, those are some big songs for sure. What I think is interesting, though, about those is that a lot of them from the list that you just ran down feel like by 1999, when they're doing Jordan Knight, like that they had already done a lot of their best work. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about a lot of like late 80s into early 90s songs on that resume.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that was kind of the appeal too for Jordan Knight, was like, hey, these are some guys who had hits at the time that I was having hits. Maybe we can both like pop each other back up on this thing.
I mean, maybe, but the Usher and some of those Janet songs were kind of like mid to late 90s. They weren't washed up at this point by any means.
Not saying washed up. I'm just saying it sounds like the heaviest of the heavy hitters was more in that, like maybe 5 years earlier. And then they had like the loyal artists that kept coming back to them, like Janet keeping them going. But I mean, that's an impressive ass resume for sure.
Yeah.
Right there.
But
I mean, they've worked with two of your favorite artists of all time.
Yeah, definitely. And and to Jordan Knight's credit, he was working with them. He is credited as a songwriter on this song. He isn't just performing a song that someone else wrote. This song, of course, like you said, Matt, I love the circus elements of it. I love the beat of the song. It's very much a different type of pop song. It is not very straightforward. It's a lot of fun to listen to. And on top of that, so you have legions of fans of Jordan Knight who are going to be into the fact that a guy from a band they grew up listening to has a song out. He's really good looking. He's a great dancer. And this song is sexual as hell.
Boy, is it.
Yeah. This is like one of the dirtiest songs without actually saying like the dirty parts. Although some of these words can definitely be interpreted in different ways. You know, you look at these lyrics, like you say, it's been too long since you had some. You say I turn you on like a fire that's burning inside. Like there's these really obvious things. Now,
there's a line in the next part where it's like, this is undeniable what he's talking about when he says, it's creeping around in your head, me holding you down in my bed. Like, there's no other way to interpret that unless you think he's wrestling.
Well,
he's Pinder. He's,
yeah. The funniest part, I think, and if you watch the music video, he almost nods to the camera when he says, I'm coming. You know, if you watch the music video, when he says, I'm coming, watch the face he makes to the camera when he says that. And also, what I think is so funny, Matt, I was like, oh man, the people on the Genius lyrics had to have a field day with this song, right? There was only one line in the song that was highlighted that you could click on. And that line was, anyone can make you sweat, but I can keep you wet. And when I clicked on it, it says, keep you wet is most likely a reference to the increased lubrication of the female vagina during sexual arousal. In case you needed clarification on what he meant.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes, so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code onehit50, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hey, One Hit Thunders, Thunderheads, Thunderbuns. All right, I'll just go with One Hit Thunder listeners. This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song that they have written. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites such as Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu, and even some of the artists that have been featured on One Hit Thunder. The show is even produced by One Hit Thunder host Chris Fafalius. What more could you possibly ask for? Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday. I guarantee you'll like it, or we'll give you your money back.
So, Jordan Knight has this hit. We love it. We still love it to this day. Love that you heard it at an amusement park for kids.
Yep, definitely did.
Yeah. Robin Thicke's a writer on it as well. His self-titled album ended up going gold, which,
yep,
that's good. But when you were a New Kids on the Block who sold 80 million albums, I could see how that can be considered a failure to a certain extent.
A little bit of a disappointment. Yeah, he was so... His career is very interesting, I feel like. Because like we said, New Kids break up in 94. He takes 5 years to do this first solo album. Then it's another 5 years. Actually, it's longer. It's 7 years until the second album comes out. And that has like a very minor adult contemporary song that he did. It was a duet with Deborah Gibson called Say Goodbye. And then right around that time is when New Kids reunites and they do like a tour with the Backstreet Boys and all this stuff. And that ends in 2011. And then at that point, another 5 years after the previous solo album, he puts out what I believe is his most recent solo album was in 2011.
Yeah.
Then I wrote down, this was just me giving some notes, but he did a collaboration with Nick Carter and they released an album called Nick and Knight. And I'm like, why not call it Nick at Night? like it just seems to make more sense to me than just Nick and Knight. Like that's not a common phrase that people
they
say. Could.
Maybe they couldn't.
Yeah,
I do want to note. True. I want to take it back to the debut album for a second, Matt. But did you see what the second single was from this album?
No.
The second single from this album was a cover, a ballad version of my favorite Prince song, I Can Never Take the Place of Your Man.
Oh.
It's my favorite Prince song.
But it didn't do well.
Yeah, it didn't. And I wish he would have done an upbeat version of it. That song is such a fun, upbeat song, which is what I love about it. And he did a slow, ballad of it. I don't know why. It was such a weird choice.
There's always the chance that, especially at this point, there's always the chance where they're telling, I'm not sure how many of the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC albums you've listened to, but if you listen to the full albums, there's, in the 90s, there was a very clear thing where it's like half of these songs need to be club hits, half of these songs need to be ballads. Mm. And I'm wondering if it was just literally, all right, we've got five dance songs. I want to cover this Prince song. I guess we could retrofit it to be one of the ballads. Because even when you look at some of the releases, it's like, you know, they would have, say, As Long As You Love Me and Quit Playing Games With My Heart, which are like really bound, like poppy songs. But then it'll be like, I'll Never Break Your Heart as like the next single, where it's like, okay, here's like the love song, but now we're going to do like Backstreet's Back. Like, we're going back to the dance song. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you almost had to prove that you could do both things. And I mean, it's not a bad idea for the second single to be an already established hit song to give you that extra edge. But it, I agree. Taking a song that is so poppy, like I could never, like upbeat and fun as I could never take the place of your man, and like slowing it down seems like a bad call. Also, like, no one's going to listen to it and be like, this is better.
Right. And also like, that is not one of the Prince songs that people know. I mean, it was a popular early Prince song, but it's not one that has like really stood the test of time for the average person. You know, it's not 1999. It's not Let's Go Crazy. It's not Raspberry Beret. So
yeah,
probably a lot of people, kids that are hearing that song at that time, don't even know the Prince version of the song. Just the whole thing was confusing. It does make sense to me what you're saying about following the formula of, oh, you did the dance pop song, now let's bring the emotional song out. So that makes sense.
Let's talk real quick, because I have to say, this song peaks at number 10 on May 15th, 1999. Mm-hmm. And I've said this a couple times before on the show, but I mean it extra hard this time. What a stacked top five we are looking at, where all five songs that are in the top five are songs that you will still hear walking through a grocery store or whatever. We had at number five, Believe from Cher. Number four, Every Morning from Sugar Ray. Number three, Kiss Me from Sixpence None the Richer. Number two, No Scrubs from TLC. And number one, he lost to him for the best dance video, and he's also losing to him on the charts, Ricky Martin with Livin' La Vida Loca.
He stepped right into the storm of Livin' La Vida Loca.
Which, you know, the flip side is, there is a story here, right? It's two different artists from boy bands from the 80s and 90s, right, going solo, and Ricky Martin definitely had the far longer lasting and successful of those solo careers.
Why do you think Livin' La Vida Loca resonated harder with people than Give It To You did?
So I was going to say that it was different than what you were hearing on the radio, but I would say that the same is with Give It To You. I think Livin' La Vida Loca, it's a couple things, all right? I think Livin' La Vida Loca, A, has just so many hooks to it. It is a catchy-ass song. I also think the chorus to that song is way catchier than the chorus to Give It To You. Mm-hmm. I like Give It To You a lot, but like, I have to look at the lyrics for some of it. You know, it's like, baby, I know I could give it to you, but da da da, but da. Like, it's like the words kind of fall apart and the melody comes in. But I know the like, upside, inside out, living a vida loca.
Maybe it was a time where people wanted the Latin sound. Living La Vida Loca is a little more over the top. I mean, Give It To You is kind of over the top, but it's also still a little more on the R&B side of things, whereas Livin' La Vida Loca is just hits you over the head hard.
Well, and like, this is going to sound really weird, and this is obviously a very big stretch, right? But like, Give It To You was, it's undeniably a pop song. Like, when you're trying to figure out like what category it falls into, it's like, it's a pop song with like some R&B or R&B influence, and like the beat has like a little bit of like what was happening in like down south hip hop, like in the background track. I feel like Ricky Martin like really hit with that specific song, hit this thing where it feels like it was one of those songs that could work on almost any radio station. Mm. Like, I remember as a kid who didn't like pop music and was listening to a lot of like punk, rock, and ska music, there was something about that song that I was still like, this song's pretty cool. Like, and I don't know if it was because I was a ska fan and there was the horns, or I don't know if it was because it had that surf guitar going throughout it or whatever. But like, if I was listening to the alternative radio station, they never played either one of these songs, but I feel like they could have gotten away with playing the Ricky Martin song with what else was happening in like rock radio at that time, where they couldn't with Give It to You. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, because like, this is right around when ska was at its peak. This is like right around when like kind of the surfy guitar and swing revival and all that stuff has like just happened, where you've got this pop song that feels like you could play it between like a Mighty Mighty Boss Tone song and something else on a rock station, and it wouldn't be like that out of character. But if you like just randomly drop this Jordan Knight song in the middle of everything, that could be a problem. And the other issue is I think less people really knew and cared about Menudo in 1999 than people still very much cared about New Kids on the Block in 1999. Like, I think...
Well, wouldn't that give an advantage to Jordan then?
Well, what I mean, though, is like, I learned about Ricky Martin being from Menudo after the fact, and yeah, like almost kind of having to learn who Menudo was.
Right.
So I could just see him as a solo artist, where everything about Jordan Knight going solo was like, the guy from New Kids is doing the song. Like, it was like he couldn't escape that he was part of New Kids on the Block. So it was like there were going to be people who probably would have loved this song who already had a preconceived, I don't like boy bands, I don't like New Kids on the Block, who were just like not going to give this song a chance no matter what, because they knew that it was the New Kids guy.
Gotcha.
That's my guess.
Gotcha. And this was really at the height of the pop thing. When you look at what Give It To You was above in the charts, at this moment, when it peaked at 10, Baby One More Time for Britney Spears was at 24. C'est La Vie from your girls Bewitched was at 32.
Hell yeah, the Bewitched girls.
There's other things too in here that don't impress me much from Shania Twain. I Want It That Way for Backstreet Boys was at number 23 at this time. Can I Get A from Jay-Z was 38 at this time. You know, another one hit Thunder Past episode, Save Tonight from Eagle Eye Cherry, was at number 35. It was very, very pop heavy in these charts now. Yeah. Those Scrubs and Living La Vida Loca aside. And even Cher was going over the top with the pop at this time.
Yeah. I mean, and I still think that song Believe is a masterpiece. I love listening to that song. But Chris, I got to ask you a question. You got a game for me?
I do have a game for you.
Oh, let's have a game time then real quick.
Don't always count on me having a game for you, but you must have known something today. You can't always count on it, but I do have one. This one is all about the time when Give It To You was at its peak. That is May of 1999. You will get absolutely zero multiple choices, because I think there's a chance that you could run the table on this.
You think that every time, but then you ask me like who was born on a certain day, and I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I do think you could do very good. You got six questions coming up.
I'm going to go with what I said last time. I succeeded, I think, in that. So let's go again with I can get 4 out of 6.
Okay. On May 1st of 1999, this show debuted on Nickelodeon.
May 1st, 1999, show debuted on Nickelodeon. I would have been in middle school, 7th, maybe 8th grade. That seems too late for all that. All that would have been a year or two prior, I feel like. Can I ask if it's live action or animated?
No.
Okay. All right, so let's see. Nickelodeon, 1999. Was this SpongeBob SquarePants?
Sure was.
All right.
There you go. On May 4th of 1999, this Brendan Fraser movie premiered in the U.S.
Ooh, man, he had a lot of movies in this time period. Some were hits, some were fumbles. But I'm pretty sure that if you're asking, it's not because it was something like George of the Jungle or Dudley Do-Right. This would have been the prime time for The Mummy.
You got it. 2 for 2. I told you might be able to run the table here. On May 19th of 1999, this movie that features Ewan McGregor is released.
Okay, this movie, Ewan McGregor. I'm going to take a swing on this. I feel like this was an early 2000s movie, not a 1999 movie, but was it Moulin Rouge?
No.
Ah!
It was Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah, boo.
Yeah. All right, you got 2 points still. On May 23rd of 1999, this tragedy happened at the Kemper Arena in Kansas City.
Fuck. I honestly don't know. When I was a kid, the only tragedies that ever really came into my mind by middle school was like Columbine shooting and like the, you know, September 11th. Then it became a lot more frequent after that. Do you need the specifics, or can I just say like there was a bombing?
You can be vague if you want, but
I feel like there was a bombing somewhere in the museum. All right.
That was Owen Hart died after falling 70 feet in a wrestling
Jesus.
Event.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. I was going for something way more I hear the word tragedy now and my brain goes to like multiple people dead.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Okay. So you got 2 still. Right?
Yeah, and I got 2 questions left. All I have to get both.
Good luck on this one.
Oh, no.
On May 27th of 1999, this French-American singer and actress, who is the daughter of a famous actor and recently starred in an HBO series, was born.
All right. So now that I know that this was a was born question, can you read the stats about them real quick?
Okay. She was born on May 27th of 1999.
So she's 25. Got
she's it. She's a French-American singer and actress.
French-American singer and actress.
She's the daughter of a famous actor.
Daughter of a famous actor.
And she recently starred in an HBO series.
Now, in my brain, the only HBO series that I can think of that people were talking about recently was True Detective. And I don't know any. I didn't watch True Detective. The only person I know in that is Jodie Foster, who this is clearly not about. Mm. So now I'm trying to think of what French-Canadian.
Not Canadian.
Oh, sorry.
French-American.
French-American. What French-American 24-year-olds with a famous mother.
Famous father.
Actress, famous father actor. I don't think I'm going to hit my 4. Who is it?
It is Lily Rose Depp.
See, and I didn't even know Lily Rose Depp did anything. Was she in True Detective?
No,
was I right about the show?
No. She was on that show, The Idol, with The Weeknd. One of the worst shows ever. Although, it's one of the worst shows ever, but I will say, that new season of True Detective, it is terrible.
I've got no horse in the race and no opinion. Yeah. So, moving on. Last question. I've already lost, but let's see.
Yeah, we'll see if you can get this one. On June 1st of 1999... this album was released, which debuted at number 9 on the Billboard 200. And this album was also released on the same day that Napster was launched.
June 1st, 1999. I'm trying to think here. Because obviously, as you know, at the beginning of every year, I look up like every single anniversary thing. So I'm trying to think of albums that would be having a 25-year anniversary. And I'm coming up blank right now. Let me think. Wait a second. Okay. Let me think about why you'd be asking me this question.
Yeah. You should know this.
What was the second part of that you said?
So just by chance, this album was also released the same day that Napster launched.
Oh, okay. So that has nothing to do
with
anything.
No, not really. It debuted at number 9 on the Billboard 200.
Okay. I'm going to take a swing at this. I feel like this came out sooner than this because I remember everyone being obsessed with it in school, and June 1st we would have been like finishing school. But was that when Enema of the State from Blink came out?
Yep.
What an album.
You got it. I was there before the gates came up at National Record Mart to go get my copy that day.
Let me ask you a weird question.
Sure.
just because we brought it up and we're obviously never going to do a Blink-182 episode of One Hit Thunder. I know a lot of people who think that is, without competition, their best album. I don't agree with that, but I'm curious how do you feel about that album as a whole?
I think it's their second best, and I think it's ridiculous that I think that Dude Ranch is the best, but I just think Dude Ranch is the best because at that point, the songs are their most relatable. They seem to be coming from the heart the most. Like they're
okay.
And I think I like the melodies the most. Obviously, they got a way better drummer after that, and the sonic quality of the albums after that is way higher. But Dude Ranch, I think, is the most relatable, especially at the time. They were just relatable to a teenage guy.
My problem with Dude Ranch, which like I do love that album, I feel like it's top heavy. I feel like the first those early tracks are a lot stronger than like the last couple for me. For me, my favorite's always been Take Your Pants Off and Jacket. I just think that it's got some of their worst songs for sure. Like Rock Show is not a particularly good song, but like the deeper cuts in that, like Reckless Abandon and Every Time I Look at You, and like there's just some really good songs on that album. And I always talk about, for me, I love that like in between record where like you can tell that they're starting to shift their sound, but they haven't fully did it. And I feel like that album feels like it's half them still doing Enema of the State and half like them leaning into what their like later music and side projects would sound like. So I think it causes like a cool, it's why I like the Bends so much. Like Bends feels like it's half Creep and half like OK Computer smashed into like hybrid.
I love the Bends. Hey,
I put the Bends over all. I put that over OK Computer. I think it's a better overall listening experience.
It's really good.
Bends, but
hey, I made a note to myself to open this up and talk to you real quick because we got into June 1st of 1999. I want to just read off to you the things from June of 1999. Maybe we should do a whole episode about June of 1999 at some point because it starts with Blink releasing Enema of the State on June 1st and Napster being launched on June 1st. Go ahead.
I'm opening. I decided to also open up my June or my June folder. And this is like all of the things throughout all the other albums. There is another equally important album that came out on June 1st, 1999 for me and you.
What's that?
Do you know what compilation came out that day?
The compilation? No.
Short Music for Short People, okay. The 100 songs all under 30 seconds. I love that album.
Yeah, Blink's on that. I think Green Day's on that too.
One of the best Green Day songs is on that, actually. That song rules.
That's a good song. June 2nd of 1999, the Backstreet Boys smash the first week sales record of Garth Brooks' 1.08 million when Millennium came out, which sold over 1.13 million in its first week.
That was a huge record.
Yeah.
That was a very big album.
Yeah. June 22nd, Christina Aguilera releases Genie in the Bottle, which became a worldwide hit selling over 7 million copies. That same day, Limp Bizkit's second album, Significant Other, debuts at number one on the Billboard 200, selling 643,000 copies in its first week.
You know, we talk a lot about how like 94 was a great time to be a band, but 1999 wasn't a bad time to be a band in the CD industry either.
I mean,
like it was just before Napster started to make those sales dwindle a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to be a band. And then June 28th of that year, Britney Spears leaves on her Baby One More Time tour, which I actually went to. And then on June 29th, Santana and Rob Thomas release Smooth.
What a song. The only other ones that I have in here, as I'm looking at my June 1999 calendar here, is June 8th, 1999, Smash Mouth releases the Astro Lounge album with All Star on it.
Okay.
And Red Hot Chili Peppers released Californication, which I think ended up being their biggest selling record at that time. Vertical Horizon put out their album in June 15th. And then there's a lot of more movie stuff in 99 than album stuff. Significant Other, like you said, from Limp Bizkit. And obviously, one of the most important albums of all time came out. Two of the most important albums of all time came out on June 29th, 1999. Of course, I'm referring to Slipknot self-titled album with Wait and Bleed and Weird Al's Running with Scissors featuring The Saga
gotcha.
Begins.
I thought you were going to say Sash Jordan.
Sash Jordan. Yeah, Sash Jordan put out an. I only have one Sash Jordan album. As much as I love the album Rats, I never bothered to hear what the rest of her music sounds like.
Yeah. We really got off away, far away
hey, you know
from
what?
Jordan Knight.
That's fine.
But reeling it back into Jordan Knight, I listened to his 2011 album Unfinished. He has a song that he has a music video for called Stingy, which features Donnie Wahlberg. And Donnie's nice. Like wearing a ridiculous white fedora, and he's kind of just like talk singing. I wouldn't call it rapping necessarily, but Donnie Wahlberg's pretty cringe in that video. But the song wasn't too bad. I think it's really funny to base a song around the word stingy. Stingy is such a... At first, when I saw it, I'm like, stingy? Why is this song called Stingy? I'm like, oh, yeah, wait a second. Stingy is a word. But other than that, I mean, when it comes to Thunder or Blunder for Jordan Knight, the dude has just had way too many hits in his other project, and I like this song too much to call him anything other than Thunder. Even
I'm right there with you. I was going to say the exact same thing. Is like this might be. Well, I mean, we just talked about Ricky Martin for 10 minutes, but in my opinion, this is the best solo song from a former boy. Like I would put Ooh. Give It to You over literally any Justin Timberlake solo track.
Oh.
In my mind.
Okay.
I think that this is an incredible solo track.
That's a good question. Is this the best ever solo song by a
from
guy
a boy band member.
From a boy band? Yeah. Now remember, New Edition is considered...
Oh, man, I'm eating my words already because that song from Ghostbusters 2 from Bobby Brown is better than this.
That's the best.
Never mind.
That's the best.
Damn it. How'd you had to remind me about New Edition and Bobby Brown.
Yeah. Don't forget. Hey, and it's really disrespectful of us to not give New Edition all the credit in the world for the boy band thing, because all these white boy bands, you know, took what they did and, you know, achieved even more success. Not that New Edition didn't achieve a lot of success, and a lot of people, everybody from Belle Biv DeVoe came from New Edition, and then of course Bobby Brown and all the guys had solo careers after that. All the other guys, Johnny Gill and Ralph Tresvant, even had a hit after that. But so I guess we shot that down. But it's definitely up there. I think I agree with you that I probably like Give It to You better than any Justin Timberlake song. Definitely like it better than any other New Kids. And then did anybody else from like Backstreet Boys? No, right?
No, not that I know of. I'm sure maybe they tried, but they didn't. Like, I just think this is a very good song.
Yeah.
I'm honestly bummed it didn't peak higher than 10, because this to me sounds like a number one hit to my music loving ears. But oh well. You know, I guess what we're trying to say is, Jordan Knight, we're going to give it to you.
Yeah, we're going to give it to you. You know what we're going to give to you? A certified Thunder.
Shake off your past mistakes. The world can still be yours. Search is incomplete for what you're looking for. You're so original. Don't give in to the crowd. Just let your voice be heard. Make it bloody loud. They'll try to hold you back.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Sofios of the band Punchline and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Let It Rise off the Punchline album Thrilled. Visit punchlinemusic.com for any upcoming news of the band and for any upcoming tour dates. Our podcast is on Patreon now. Find us at patreon.com/OHTpodcast for early access to episodes, bonus conversations, and a chance to vote on future songs for us to cover. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on any podcasting app. And tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder.
Let it rise off of you as
light switch. Now you can feel that calm that it rise off of you. Now you're free that it's gone. What are you waiting for? Well, we're all gonna die. That's why you take the chance. That's why you start tonight. This is the moment that you have been waiting for. The world is at your feet. They're banging at your door. And now the time is here. The moment has arrived. The countdown's ending and the dreams will come alive.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.